whoever you want to pray to or to pasha to. So there is definitely a connection with all of them. I mean, I was very shocked when I was doing my twasa, and then with the high priestess stuff, there's a whole bunch of stuff about the altar in the Bible. There's a whole bunch about rituals that are very much aligned with Bungoma, you know. And I was like, oh, okay, you know. And this is also me at some point really feeling like I was a Buddhist, you know, and then finding that, oh, okay, these are quite similar. So, you know, when initially you told me that this, you want to specifically talk about the African spirituality and meditation, I was like, ish, yeah. It's a bit tricky because of the fact that nothing is new.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
And we all want to connect at the end of the day. But with regards to kupasha and to pray at the altar in an African form, you have to consider five things specifically. You know, whether that you're praying or pashaing to heal, you are praying to pasha to awaken something, you want to manifest something, you know, or it's about contemplating, you know, or transcending specifically. But what I can say is that if you are going to say you're going to pray or pasha for healing, then have the tools specifically for that. I know I already mentioned the four elements, you know, but there's other stuff that comes into play when you think about spirituality. And in the African context, there's beads, you know, there's specific stuff that we burn in terms of impepo. You know, we're not necessarily burning incense. Yes, you can, but, you know, that's not the African way. You know, if you think about water, water is the oldest thing in the world. Everything that dies goes back to the water. But if you look at it in a deeper way, water is also the first mirror that we were ever introduced to. So there's, for me, my altar specifically has a mirror. It also has plant life, you know, because I think it's important to have life, you know, where, and then you can also consider offering. So let's say maybe you want to manifest, I don't know, a new house, right? You bring in with to your ancestors something from the new house as a symbol of an offering. You know, you say this. It could be anything. It could be a kettle that you've bought and you want to extend that. You say, this is the type of stuff that I want in my house.
Or rather, you know? I believe that it's already coming, so I'm preparing for the move. And this is
sure,
what I've gotten.
You know, yes. And I guess that's how the meditation works. But also, you know, we're now talking specifically about prayer and akupasha. So I hear you, you know. But also, you need to understand that meditation is mostly for spiritual healing for me when it comes to the African side. Let's say you are suffering from depression, you know, or you're struggling with the nature of reality. You know, meditation can help you gain clarity, definitely. And there's so many forms of doing it. So many forms. Let's say a child is neglected or isn't surrounded by consistent love, right? And acceptance during their childhood. Your brain literally fails to produce normal levels of, you know, certain hormones for you to be physically well, right? So you can be, I'm hearing you when you say, yeah, you're believing that, yes, I'm going to put the iron there because of this. But you can't get there yet. I feel like when it comes to pasha and prayer, you have to take it super slow. Because first you need to heal. That's why I'm saying a big part of it for me is about healing. And then you can go through the other stages, you know, of manifesting and contemplating and awakening something else. It just, everything is about timing with them. With by them, I mean in terms of whether it's your God or your ancestors.
Yes, yes.
And because even then, you can't be praying to people. Let's say maybe your last three generations were all drunks and rapists. You can't be pastoring to those people. You first have to align yourself with somebody that you know is for light and love. there's a healing first that really needs to happen.
I find that one very interesting because we live in a time where it seems everyone now has an ancestral calling, but others have never even met these people. They didn't even know they existed in their families. And it becomes very difficult for you to know if you should acknowledge this one or not, depending on their history, because like you're saying, it does matter the kind of life that this person led. So if you're acknowledging a rapist and you're acknowledging someone of an evil heart, it might bring on a lot of depression and stress in your life than it, you know, being a blessing for you to be aligned with that kind of soul or spirit, if I may put it that way.
My cause, which is why, you know, it's important to find the right healers to assist you. But I just want to say something. You said you feel like there's a lot of people having a calling. I don't think that's necessarily true. Mm. I do agree that it looks like it. But it's only because of the freedom that is happening at the moment. There is a rise of freedom. You need to understand something like ancestral tradition, specifically Bungoma, is something that was literally illegal during apartheid time.
Oh.
If you were caught
practicing
or look like a practicing, or you were caught visiting, you would go to jail.
Wow.
It was illegal to practice it. So it's just like saying, oh no, there's a lot of people coming out and saying that they're gay. Mm. That's not the case. People have always had the calling. People have always been, you know, homosexual or bisexual or whatever it is. It's just that now people are feeling more safe to come out. There's more support. There's more understanding. I mean, here you are and I having this conversation. We would never be allowed to have this conversation, let alone two black women on radio. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
So now, speaking of rituals and African ceremonies.
Yes.
I've always questioned this one. And the reason why I've always had questions around it, outside of meditation, I've always questioned the fact that there are so many things that we are still practicing, but yet we say, I no longer believe in the African spirituality and I subscribe to a certain school of thought or a certain religion and I do not believe in doing 1, 2, 3, but yet without realizing that, but by continuing certain rituals and African ceremonies, you are acknowledging your angels, which some call ancestors. So where meditation and the connection of those are concerned, are there specific rituals that we can say, you know, have a relationship with meditation, or are they all a part of meditating?
I don't think they're all part of meditating.
Okay.
I think there are specific rituals, whether it's for a cleansing or, you know, there's marriage, which is also a type of a ritual or a ceremony that's not necessarily meditative. But what happens is that the people that could be facilitating it usually need to be in a meditative state, which I think is why I wanted us to touch on this, because it is important.
True.
So if you think about other tools, right, for getting into a meditative state, in this specific context, it's not just, we're not going to call it a meditative state, we're going to call it a trance. So it is important for certain things to happen where a person is in trance. And the one thing we use a lot within the African spirituality is the drums and dance. You know, that is very important, because, and also other substances, whether you're talking about alcohol, you know, because everything has its own spirit. You know, if you get that enough, you get into a trance and you're able to channel, which is important. And I think people are doing it anyway. People, why do you think people like going out clubbing? Dancing gets you in a trance where you are feeling free and loose. People like feeling that way. People like drinking alcohol because it allows them to feel connected to other people. It allows them to be themselves, even though it's not necessarily a true one. You know, it's a bit fake because you can't really be yourself unless you're drunk. But it's important to know those as tools that we use to get into a meditative state.
So if I may ask the question on music, because there are those who say, for me, it's gospel music that takes me to a different place. For others, like you had mentioned, it's music that's got drums.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can go on and on with the different kinds.
Yeah.
Am I meditating if I am just quiet and I'm listening to that song and I feel it taking me to a different dimension? Or do I need to do it at a specific place? Like you had mentioned that if you go to clubbing and you're dancing, if you dance long enough, then you'll feel more relaxed. But would it be a different case if I am not dancing, I'm listening to the same music, but in the comfort of my home?
For sure, that's a tool. That's what I'm saying. Some of them work together, some of them work individually.
Mm.
Some of them are just silent. Sometimes it's not music, sometimes it's not dancing.
Mm.
I mean, for me, before I do consultations, I like sitting in silence. Mm.
Mm.
I like sitting in silence after listening to music or after dancing, because sometimes in silence, that's where you can hear, you know, for most of us.
True.
You know, some meditations are just silent meditations. You know, you could just be walking silently. This has even been done in groups, you know, and has been found to be very, very helpful.
Mm.
So you to answer your question, it can be done in anyhow. And that's the beautiful thing about meditation.
Mm.
You find what works for you. You experiment. There's so many. And it doesn't have to be limited to just how the Africans do it, you know, because then that might not work for you anymore. You know, if you think about rituals and ceremonies, there are black vegans, for example, the vegan that is about protecting the animal, that knows that they need to do a ceremony and will try their best to fight it. But somebody will be like, hey, listen, some blood needs to be shed here.
Mm.
But they will honor that because they understand they're doing it specifically for this reason. Even if they don't eat the meat, you know, there is an honoring.
True.
Which is, you know, so for you, if you definitely can't get into a trance listening to drums, then you listen to your gospel, my love, and you get where you need to get to, so that when you pray and you listen to what your God is saying, you can hear them loud and clear.
All right. I've got a personal question around meditation. Yes. Like I had mentioned that it's something quite new.
Yes.
Or rather, I'm only paying attention to it now, but I might have been doing it for years without realizing. So when I'm driving, it doesn't matter where I'm driving to, but when I'm in the car and I'm not with anyone in the car and I'm alone, I find that there are a lot of things. I'll have an epiphany or something. And it's not that I'm thinking about the thing, but it could be you need to call someone that you haven't spoken to in a while. And I'll call that person later in the day and find out that they're going through something. It could be a feeling that says, you know, something is going wrong and you need to let loose and relax. And to me, I don't drive mainly because I find it therapeutic. I've never thought of it that way. But would that qualify as meditating?
It would. It definitely would. It definitely would, because I think, remember, I go back to saying that what meditation is for is to tame the wild mind, right?
Mm.
So during driving, you are busy focusing on driving.
Mm.
You know, you're on autopilot completely, but that's what you're doing. The mind is completely tamed at that time because all it's doing is driving.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what you want to get to. You want to get to, you were in a trance of driving. You see what I'm trying to say?
Oh, going back okay. To the now trance. I understand.
You were practicing a ritual of driving. Therefore, you were open enough for that. I just want to share with you this quote, because I was doing some research when you said it to me, and I was very interested in other cultures and how they practice it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is from the Rasta meditation handbook, right? It's from a Rastafarian mind point of view. It says, one does not enter Zion because they are Rasta. One enters Zion upon his transition because he or she has a clean and clear conscience and a matching positive elevated vibration that matches that of Zion. Rasta meditate to stay connected to and to cultivate a Zion consciousness and vibration. So you were in Zion while you were driving. You were completely clean and clear. You were able to receive messages, you know, from your friend's vibration, you know. You were clean enough, you know, your thoughts were pure at the time. And that's, I think, what it is about, because you weren't even thinking.
I was about to say I wasn't trying to think about anything and get distracted while I'm driving, which makes it easier for you know, any other communication to come through at a time where I'm attentive to anything.
Yeah, you were sitting down, you were relaxed, you were breathing and just living your best life. And then